Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Evert, and we're the Unhallowed Reviewers.
Was there a hyphen in there? Unhallowed Reviewers? Or did you just add extra
in? I don't think I put a hyphen in there. I think it's just straight up the one word. I don't know.
Unharbingered. Dude, I saw a... What was it? I saw like a cover on... When I was digging through movies the other day when I was sick. For Harbinger Down? Isn't that the movie that was supposed to be... Like the
yes.
first... This is supposed to be like the Thing movie?
Yes, that was the one that was like...
No, it was Blood Glacier. That's the one I saw.
Oh, Blood Glacier, yes. Okay. Yes, okay. Yes, that was the... I mean, we're talking about the same thing, though, here, in regards to overhyped for practical effects and stuff. both of those were basically that. And I thought, Blood Glacier was much less of a letdown to me than Harbinger Down.
I'll have to
was,
see that.
Because Harbinger... You haven't seen that one?
Mm-mm.
Because it was all about it being the visual effects team... I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I think it was the visual effects team that worked on the Thing prequel. And they were, you know, like, rightfully so, you know, complaining about how they butchered all of their practical effects work in the prequel with all that CG. And they kept showing everybody all the stuff that they built. And then eventually people were like, why can't we get more of this? And so they were like, well, what if we start a, you know, crowdfund? I don't know if they kickstarted it. I don't remember. Like, fund a movie where it's all practical effects. But, like, and it was like, that was a really cool idea. But what we didn't consider was that putting literally the entire budget into the practical effects stuff makes everything else so hard to watch that getting to the practical effects stuff almost like it wasn't worth it because like the acting was so bad, the writing was terrible, the like cinematography, like the way they shot it wasn't good, and they wanted to make sure that the practical effects looked real enough, so they put so much of it in the dark and like you couldn't enjoy any of it. It did not end up being good at all. Like even
I think
the
I remember it, but it's just from so long ago and didn't leave a mark that like I just didn't, like, don't have it as, like, a critic in my head. You know, I'm not like, I remember this movie, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it really wasn't very memorable. I can't even recall in my head that many of, like, the creature scenes. Like, any of the actual practical effects scenes, which sucks. Like, I feel like that's the one part that should stick out in my head.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember any of it.
Was Sea Fever the newest one that said that? Was that the one? Were they, like...
Which one?
The Sea Fever? Is that the one?
Oh, Sea Fever. I don't remember if they promised any practical effects or not. It looked like it was going to have a really cool creature in it.
Is that the one with, like, the weird jellyfish things?
Yeah.
They're
luminescent.
Like,
yeah, blue, glowing blue tentacles.
Okay.
And they kept promising that somebody was going to explode, and then nobody ever really did on screen. And
yeah.
But we missed it all.
Anyway, that's not really what we were going to talk about, but I'm glad we did talk about it. I do want to see Blood Glacier still, because who doesn't want to see a movie like called Blood Glacier?
I mean, that one's got some fun stuff in it. It's pretty campy.
Good.
I actually rewatched it the other day, and like the effects work isn't amazing, but it's pretty fun. Like the whole concept is that there's this like the stuff that's coming out of the glacier like makes what is it? It like mixes the genetics of whatever the animal ate inside of its stomach. It like ingests this like virus thing, and then it mutates whatever that creature ate inside of its stomach, and then makes the creature like bursts out of it. So
like a xenomorph kind of.
So like yeah, so like if it's a fox, it eats like everything. So like it's like turns into like part scarab and part whatever. And so like the idea was really cool, and it was pretty fun, but it doesn't go far enough with the I just remember thinking. There's not quite enough of the gruesome creature stuff, but at the same time, what they did was cool.
Well, we'll always have zygote, so there's that.
Yes. Oh, man.
All right, so the first thing that both Sickle and I didn't realize until the second episode of Moon Knight is that the freaking brothers, the Brothers Grimm. Now, Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson are directing the show, like the majority of the show. And that unfortunately only means stuff to people in like this community, though. I feel like everyone's like, who the heck are those guys? And you're like, oh, the people who did The Endless and Spring and, you know, all these movies. They did a recent movie.
Resolution.
What's the newest movie they did?
After Midnight.
After Midnight, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And After Midnight, and it's like, they're like, oh, like, who, what are those movies? Like, I've never seen like, those. I don't
these
know.
These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And it's, and they also did Synchronic. I think that was a little bit more recent than After Midnight.
That's true.
But that was also, like, the least horror-oriented of their movies.
And it has Anthony Mackie, which is the one I was like, I hope, maybe some people know this because he's Anthony Mackie, right? Like, but no dice.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, too, like, because I was trying to explain it to some people too, and I'm like, well, they came out with a movie like that was by far their biggest budget.
Yeah,
was Synchronic, and it hit the widest audience out of any of their stuff, but still not very many people. So I thought it was really cool that they were able to get their names out there, with this, with Moon Knight, because that's so big.
It's so big, right? It's such a huge jump between what they were doing and that. I think it's probably like. It's got to be because they, like, did something with Anthony Mackie. I mean, not to give them credit. They have great stuff. But Mark making that connection, that jump from, like, basically what I'd call is, like, festival circuit movies to something with Anthony Mackie to a Marvel, a cinematic universe franchise movie or series.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A crazy trajectory.
I know. And I'm kind of hoping that this is kind of, like, their big break. I kind of thought Synchronic would be... but, you know, maybe it's just a little bit more gradual of a big break. But, like, being able to be attached to Disney and everything and seeing what that did for... Now, I could be wrong. Maybe these guys were on the map a little bit bigger than I thought. But it reminds me kind of the Russo brothers, where they were given a shot with Winter Soldier, and it ended up being, like, one of the highest-rated Marvel movies to that point. And so they kind of almost practically gave the Russos the franchise from there.
Yeah.
And, like, they were, you know, they gave them of the rest of the Avenger movie or the Captain America movies, and then the big Avengers movies with the Infinity War movies. Like, so like, it was cool to see them get pushed. And now everybody's like, hey, the Russos are making a new movie. Like, everybody wants to know what their next movie is going to be. And I kind of hope that happens with these two guys. Cause they may have had made such quality. They've been such quality filmmakers with like micro budgets. And so if somebody can give them a good budget for them to hopefully stay within the genre, it would be amazing. I would just be so stoked.
To be fair, like, this is totally relevant to our podcast, though. We're not talking about, like, oh, it's cool, like, Winter Soldier or, like, you know, Captain America and Winter Soldier stuff. This is, like, the Midnight Suns is, like, the Justice League Dark of Marvel, you know, and Midnight Suns is, like, the group that people are referring to them forming, which is, like, the UK supergroup that revolves more around, like, magic and mysticism. So that's, like, Blade, Black Knight, potentially Morbius, not really because of reasons, but Moon Knight, stuff like that. Those are all like very mystical and kind of dark. And we see like in the Marvel doing stuff with like horror directors, traditionally horror, not traditionally, sorry, let's say people who've directed very iconic or good horror. Sam Raimi's coming back to do Multiverse of Madness. We have Justin Benson and Moorhead doing Moon Knight. That's kind of cool. Like, I really think they kind of leaned into this, like, whole horror phase stuff. So, it makes me even more excited for Multiverse of Madness, I guess, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I feel like, I'm hoping that Marvel's smart enough for this, and I feel like they are. In that, like, they realize, you have to realize that after Endgame, like, you can't one-up that from an epicness action perspective. Like, you're not going to be able to one up that. So how do you one up, like, how do you move to the next step where people are going to be more invested in what you've already built to this point? And it's, to me, it's go heavy on the darker character side of things. Like go deeper into that, add more depth instead of trying to go wide, because you're not going to beat it. You can't beat what you just did. And so, like, I love that it looks like they're going to go further into that, where people are going to be more invested from a substance standpoint. And it looks like, as you said, that they're going that darker route to get there, and still keep it light enough, because like Marvel knows that that's their bread and butter. Like, Moon Knight's been pretty funny up to this point.
Yeah, but, it's like, also it really good, too, to if you ever watched it. Watch it.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, very good.
All right, you have one other thing on here, too, so we don't just, like, gaga over Moon Knight for the whole episode. Season 2 of Shudder's Cursed Films is starting with The Wizard of Oz. I've never seen Cursed Films. I've only heard about it from people who have watched it, which is them talking about, like, stuff like The Crow, right? And, like, The Crow would be a cursed film, and, Poltergeist, things like that, right? Where, like, crazy shit happened on the movie sets. It's not necessarily about the movie itself, it's about, like, what happened while it was filming, like, yeah.
So it's a pretty cool series. Like, I like the stuff that they dove into up to this point, and I'm trying to recall, like, most of the ones that I can recall off the top of my head were, horror-oriented movies, like The Exorcist, The Poltergeist, things like that, and this one, the new season kicks off with Wizard of Oz, actually, which is super interesting, because that's obviously not a horror movie, but, like, I forgot about a lot of the dark stuff that
I don't know any of revolved it, around so, like, set. Now I kind of want to watch it and be like, what the heck happened on The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, fatality slash close to fatality stuff that happened.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they use real tornadoes?
They used real tornadoes.
Oh, shit.
And it was a real house. They threw Dorothy into the house and just had her try to... artificial tornado.
You never go full tornado.
You never go full tornado. But anyways, yeah, check it out. I mean, I like kind of just... I mean, I love documentaries like that that you can kind of just have on and just absorb really fun trivia from, you know, from the horror genre that you really like. It's fun. And so, like, to hear some horror stories from stuff that you would normally not hear, because who cares about the history of Wizard of Oz on the surface? So, like, to be able to, like, get into all this other horror stuff that's not normally horror is another fun little perspective.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so looking at what we have for trailers today. So, Sickle put this trailer on here for this HBO show called The Baby. And I'd like for you to talk about this for a second, because I want to hear what's happening here.
Okay, so this is supposed to be, this is classified as a horror comedy. And it looks like almost kind of like The Omen, sort of.
I got more Vivarium vibes from it, but we'll see where
No, 100%, because that's where I was going to go, was that, like, it looks like it's trying to take you down this Omen route of, like, lady finds baby, terrible things happen to people around the baby, but the trailer, instead of focusing more on that side of things, like, it gives you glimpses of it, it focuses more on, like, the horrors of just existing as a parent, like, just... the baby needs to be fed. Have you been caring for the baby? And then, like, the horror, quote unquote, the horror of people telling you how to raise your baby. That, like, seems to be, like, the ongoing theme through that whole trailer is somebody telling the lady, like, have you been kissing the baby on the forehead? Have you been doing this for your baby? And she's like, of course. Like, it's like, I'm like, this is, I can't tell what this thing's trying to do.
That's how I felt. At first I was like, oh, this would be interesting. Something happened with a car, a boulder in a car, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, like, what? This is just people commenting on having a kid when you don't want to have a kid, and how this kid is attached to this lady who's not even her real, like, mother, but she didn't choose to adopt. Is there some heavy commentary there? I don't really know what to expect from it. But, like, I don't know that I will watch it. I'll probably just read what happens, because it just seems a little bit heavy-handed.
Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree with you. I got Vivarium vibes, where it's like this, like, way of life that people have, rightly or wrongly, that's fine if you want to have that opinion, have normalized this way of life and turning it into a horror movie, but just being so literal with it. It's like, am I supposed to pick up on this as a millennial? Like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, just raising a child is hell. And it's like,
someone shot a mockumentary about going grocery shopping. And you're like, that's not really something you shoot a mockumentary about. And you're like, well, we did it. And you're like, well, yeah, what did you make fun of? And you're like, well, we made a really good commentary about someone picking organic versus non-organic bananas. And it's like, okay, what? Like,
oh, that's 100%. It's turning a horror movie from the mundane. And it's like, but it doesn't, I don't know. I can see why people think it would work, but so far it does not feel like it works.
It's like someone got attached to the idea that, like, people are, like, millennials are killing the family, and it's, like, because they don't want to have kids or something. So now this is, like, the thing that they make millennial horror movies about is, like, the idea of commitment. And you're like, I feel like you didn't really get what we're saying when we say we don't really like having traditional families as millennials. It's like, it's not because we don't like kids, it's because we're too scared to bring kids into the world and we don't have money and all this stuff. Like, yeah. You know, it's not a lack of like interest in children. It's a lack of willingness to do certain things and have to spend money on things that we don't have and all this stuff. It's like, just like get like, just back up off of the stereotypes a little bit. It's like, yeah, anyway, I could go on and on about this shit because it's like, oh, well, why don't you make a horror movie about, like, another stereotype, like, bad drivers of a certain race or, you know, all women doing X. And it's like, oh, we have. And you're like, yeah. And then were they good? And you're like, nah, not really. Yeah.
It's just this weird abomination of, like, pandering.
Now, speaking of pandering, though, men did look really good, and I want to see that. But it looked like it did it in a really interesting way. So, like, you know, maybe learn from that, baby. But the next one we have is called...
Oh, no, I just have no idea where that movie's going still. Yeah. And I'm so interested.
Me too. Same with Nope.
Yes, 100%.
This next one's called Choose or Die, and I am kind of interested in this, but I thought it was funny, and this is just really weird personal knowledge, that, like, every British actor they cast in this movie, they basically said, hey, don't use your original accent. Like, I think it takes place in a foreign country, but they're like, don't use their British accent, be an American. And it's weird to me because I'm so used to those actors being British that it's like, you know, it's like seeing a dog talk or a dog like use its lips and you're like, that's not right. That's not right. Like, anyway, it looks kind of cool though. Like, it looks like a mix of Truth or Dare and like a video game horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. I don't know why, but some of the like Ghost in the Machine horror movies, where it's got like a supernatural element working through technology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of is it because you've seen Truth or Dare. I have not seen it.
No, I haven't seen the new one. I saw some weird, dumb old one.
Oh, okay. So I don't know how to feel about that, but I don't know. It looks interesting. I think I'd be willing to give it a chance, but like it's one of those things where like I can't tell if the gimmick is gonna get old, of like you're watching people get killed by the computer choosing how people are dying, sort of. I just can't tell if it's gonna get. Do you know what I mean? Like if it's gonna get mundane, like how they're doing it, the pattern of it. But I don't know.
No, I do know what you mean because. There's just some aspects of it just make me feel like it's just going to be another, like, cliche movie. Do you remember that movie with Frankie Muniz, that was about the video game that killed people? I cannot remember what it's called, but basically it was, like, this old Frankie Muniz joint. And it was, like, I can't remember what it was called. I cannot remember. I don't know why I haven't named this movie, but, like, Stay Alive is what it was called. And it was a game where, like, basically, if you die in the game, you die for real. That was the tagline of the movie, right? And it's kind of, like, the original version of what this is, it feels like. Because it's, like, the first, like, video game movie. And the only... I'm trying to find it right now, and I can't find it. But I have watched it on Prime before. But I watched this really off-the-wall, like, Amazon movie about this, like, Halloween kind of... What Are You Afraid Of, like, digital game. And it was, like, a haunted app that would kill you. And I was like, this is going to be really stupid. Actually, so amazing. Like, one of the best movies I've watched in a long time. But it's, like, a little bit campy, but it's still really good. And it's like, man, like, I don't know if it can get better than that. Because this movie seems super serious, like, way too serious for what it's trying to do, right? It's, like, it's trying to be this movie about this thing that's kind of serious, but it's also, like, just a movie about an app that kills you. So, like, that's not novel. So you got to do something a little interesting with it if you want to, like, shake it up. But they're choosing to absolutely not do that, which is, like, the worst. Because it's like, why don't you just choose to be a little bit more creative here? And maybe it will, but really all we're talking about is, like, a horror version of Would You Rather. That's it. Like, you have to choose a thing and then watch someone fuck themselves up. And there may or may not be an end. And, like, one of the things that someone told me the other day about watching horror movies that I've taken to heart, kind of, is, and this happened with, like, the Bye Bye Man, which is, like, if there's no way to ever win, what's the point of having watched the horror movie? Like, if there's no way to have ever been able to succeed or defeat something, like, there's, it makes certain horror movies just a lot less meaningful. Especially if you go in thinking there's a chance for success, right? So
yeah, and I think some people would disagree with this, but like that's one of the things I have against The Ring is that like that whole movie is her trying to figure out the mystery behind Samara being killed, and she finally figures it all out, but it doesn't actually do anything. Like Samara's still like, nope, I'm still gonna kill you. You have to spread the tape, and it's like, but she figured it out. Like,
yeah,
isn't that the whole point? Is for you to be resolved? Like, I don't understand why. Like, it, and I don't know. I don't know if that it probably doesn't irritate anybody else because that's like a classic for a lot of people. But that was one of those instances where I was like, why did we just sit through this entire movie for it to end up being completely moot? None of it mattered.
So I found that movie that I was talking about. It's called Halloween Party, and it's got a very like strong female protagonist at the front, which is nice. It's about the app isn't the crux of everything. It's like telling a story about stuff, and it leads to like lots of different avenues. It's on Amazon. It's 1 hour and 32 minutes. It's free to watch. It came out in 2022. It's got 3.5 stars, and it's very, very entertaining. And it's probably one of the better, like, this app kills you movies. If you want to go see an app kills you movie, go watch Halloween Party and enjoy yourself for a little bit. Or, you know, wait for Choose Your Day to come out on Netflix soon and watch that, I guess.
Also go watch Murder Party, because that's what that Halloween Party made me think of. And that movie's also fun.
It is. So, let's talk. I want to talk about The Cursed, and I want to talk about The Exorcism of God and stuff, but I also feel like we should have a quick discussion, use the rest of the episode to discuss X, because we both had very different feels about X, I feel like, and I want to articulate that in the last part of this podcast to everybody. Because you didn't hate X, right?
I did not.
Which is about as best as I think you can get with that movie, even if you did like it. It was like, yeah, it wasn't bad. It was, like, cool for what it was, the genre it was in, you know? It was, like, kind of a unique take on, like, a slasher. It's, like, a period piece almost, kind of, but not, like, up its own ass.
I can tell you exactly what my sentiment was on this movie.
Yeah, go for it.
The reason that I ended up, like, liking it more than not, I guess, is that a lot of A24 horror movies were heading down a certain path of late, and it kind of peaked for me in a bad way, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, but with Midsommar, I did not like Midsommar. I thought Midsommar was too artsy for its own good. I hated how pretentious it felt for the entirety of the movie.
I don't think Midsommar's a horror movie, unfortunately. Like,
but it was advertised as one, right? It was a pretty big disappointment for me personally. And I was like, is this what A24 is now? Like, is it just going to be just so full of itself that it's not even a horror movie anymore? And so for X to come out attached to A24, it was a breath of fresh air. And it was like, oh, good. A24 wasn't like going all in on this other route.
See,
like,
it's, it was funny willing to use the term breath of fresh air, and I'll tell you why after you're finished talking.
Okay, well, I mean, like, it was, it, so I guess I was going in it from the perspective of, like, is this going to be more of that? And when it wasn't, I was like, oh, good, A24 is still, like, doing different stuff. It's not like it's just digging further down that rabbit hole. And it's willing to like try some other things, and but like it still has that A24 feel that I love, but it's not being a pretentious piece of crap that I just want to have nothing to do with. And I don't know, so I think that that was it, is that like really when it comes down to it, is that it was just a pretty straightforward slasher set in a grindhousey feel, and I was like, oh cool, all right, I can enjoy that.
I don't disagree with that. It was a slasher with a grindhouse feel. Sure, that's a great description of that movie.
Yeah,
I think where I disagree is that I think this is A22 fart sniff Ouroborosing themselves. Where like they've like wafted their own farts so much to get hoity-toity and arty that they've like accidentally gone too far into like their effect. So they're like eating their own tail when they're like making this movie, because it's a fucking dumb premise. Like nobody in their right mind would. It's an immersion thing for me. Like, I could never get into this film because I was never able to put myself in a scenario where I would trust someone enough to just be comfortable with weird-ass old people who started the interaction with us by putting a gun in my face. Like, at any point during that time, I wasn't going to be like, oh, let's go look for this old lady that's, like, you know, very clearly sick. I'm like, let's get the frick out of here. Like, why? Like, we can find somewhere else to shoot this movie we're shooting. Like, we're almost done anyway. What's the big deal? Like, and so the most intense point of like thing in the movie was when she was getting chased by the crocodile in the water. Like, that was the probably most intense amount of like uncomfortable panic I had the entire time. And I know people are going to.
The alligator scene is the best.
Yeah, and I know people are going to disagree because they showed old people having sex, which is so taboo. I know it's like killing a dog, right? No, I absolutely disagree. It's old people having sex. Get over it. Like it's just two people having sex and loving each other.
We don't age. We're not having that problem. You know, being undead and you being a demon. So this doesn't apply to us on a personal level, but I did think that that was weird that, like, I'm like, yeah, I get it. They're, like, I mean, they're particularly old in the sense of, like, that he's got no teeth and, like, all that stuff and whatever. But, like, you're still trying to establish that old people having sex is horrific? And I'm like, I don't understand. Like,
that's a weird commentary to make to me. And the reason I say it's kind of fart sniff Ouroborosing is because I think they like went too far. They're like Midsommar is a very artsy piece. Like I'll give you that. And I think Midsommar gets classified as a horror movie because of the gore. When in reality, I think it's more of just a folk piece that has some horror aspects to it. Because it's not really all that scary unless you're scared of like people. You're like, oh, wow, I'm scared of other cultures that are doing weird things and maybe cults. Like, okay, cool. Don't look around the corner at the next religion. Like, that's going to scare you for sure. But the idea is, like, they're like, what can we make that's... What can we, like, take a fresh take on and also make it our own stamp? And they're like, let's do this crazy pornographic commentary about Grindhouse with old people who are jealous of the people who are there, so they kill them, and it's like so up its own ass with potential commentary that it doesn't deliver on any of that. I'm like, like the scene that I thought was the funniest was like at the very, and this is spoilers, so if you didn't really clearly think that there were spoilers coming, they're about to come right now, because this is the biggest twist of the movie. That's the shittiest twist of the movie, is the girl who survives is the preacher's daughter, who's the one that's preaching against pornography, and you're like, oh my god, like gasp. But like they don't really set that up for you. They just like have this guy preaching the whole time, like in the background, like shown up on the side of a wall. Like I'm just kind of keep thinking of like art installations, right, where it's like they just have random TVs playing all the time, like, and it's just someone talking, and you never care what they're talking about, but you know it's probably some kind of commentary that you don't agree with, because that's the whole gimmick of the art installation. That's like the effect that guy had of talking on the TV of this, like, in this movie. And then all of a sudden at the very end, they're like, oh yeah, go find, this is my daughter. She was led down the way of sin. And you're like, what? What does that even have to do with anything? Like, did you just need some kind of track back for some reason? Like, is there going to be a sequel? What the fuck?
And like you said, I still couldn't tell. But I like, even their, like, hidden message or whatever there, I still couldn't tell what that was. Because I'm like, I don't understand. She's driving away and she can't make it a mile down the road before she's got to sniff more coke. And I'm like, who am I supposed to be like, aha, now I understand your moral conundrum. Like, yeah. I'm still lost. Yeah. I don't understand what you're trying to say.
And you know, I'm not trying to be ageist or anything. I don't think that that's where I'm coming from this commentary. But if you put me in a fight or flight situation with somebody who is, like, significantly older than me and having trouble walking and not mentally stable, I think I can take it. Like, I think I can take them. Like, it's maybe like a 50-50 shot. I might get my ass rocked. That's fine. Like, but if they're about to kill me and my only chance is to kill them, I'm going to play dirty. I'm going to, like, kick knees. I'm going to, like, you know, try to, like, mess with spots I know are, like, fail on people early. Like, so I just don't, I'm not convinced that this is a very good slasher villain. It's like you put a baby with a knife. Oh, wait, we already have that movie. It's called The Baby.
It's true. Well, Pet Sematary. You get that.
Well, that was a good one, though, so.
But I mean, like, no, that's such a good point because, like, there, like, with every kill in that movie, I was like, wait, how are the old people doing this?
Yeah, right.
You've just shown how decrepit these two are, and like, and then at the end they basically kill themselves, right? I mean, on accident. And like, I'm like, wait a second. So who was stabbing with the pitchfork earlier? Because that takes a little bit of, you know, strength.
Yeah, exactly.
To lunge that forward, and but like, neither one of these two seem to be able to do that. She's so confused.
And I really liked Brittany Snow in this movie. It was a great actress in this movie. Like, I hadn't seen Brittany Snow do, like, a bunch besides, you know, some of her other films, like Pitch Perfect and things like that. But I think she was, like, an amazing, and Jenna Ortega too. Like, also, I really liked Kid Cudi in this. Like, those three, I think, were, like, really good at doing what they did in this movie. But, like, the movie just wasn't good. Like, it just wasn't good. And, like, and I think it kind of, I'm trying to remember what else Ty West did, but I don't think I know of anything he did that I, like,
The House
about.
Of the Devil. The House of the Devil is his other big one.
He did Second Honeymoon in VHS. That was the one. And if I would have known that before going into X, I never would have seen X. Because that's my least favorite skit. That's my most favorite, most hated skit of any skit in VHS, is Second Honeymoon, because it's really fucking stupid. So, I don't know. Like, again.
Oh, yeah, and then he did The Innkeepers, too. And everybody loves that movie. I didn't get it. I didn't get why
you know, maybe
everybody
we're,
loved that movie.
Maybe we're the a-holes here, but...
I mean, everybody loves House of the Devil, and I almost fell asleep until that guy got his head blown off by a shotgun in the car, like, three quarters of the way through the movie. Like, nothing was happening, and then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, it's like, massive gore scene, and I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Was that everything? Was that what all the hype was about? Was
and
just this
done.
One shot? Yeah, and it's over.
All right, well, you don't have to hear us talk about how much I disliked X. I think it's okay to go see, but I wouldn't go pay to see it. I'd wait till it's, like, free streaming. Like, it's about that good.
Yeah. But then I'd watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited for it, kind of, because I liked the position it was taking. But I guess I really didn't put the two and two together with the A24 and Ty West and what the theme was. So, anyway, thanks for listening. Let us know what you think about the stuff we talked about today, and see you next time.